Tonight I preach a message from some things that have happened in my life the past 4 or 5 months, and then something specifically that happened a couple weeks ago. I preach a message tonight entitled, When Does the Hurting Stop? When Does the Hurting Stop? 4 or 5 months ago, I got a call from a lady I used to work with. I wouldn't say we were friends, but we were acquainted. We worked together, and she retired the same time that I did. She's a couple years younger than me. Her husband is exactly the same age. He was born in May of 1951, just like me. And they have a couple kids, a girl and a boy, just about the same ages as my daughter and my son. And she called me and said, Daryl, of course I'm not her pastor, and she knows I'm a pastor, but she calls me Daryl. She said, Daryl, I need you to pray for my husband. I said, well, I'd be glad to. What's the matter? And she said, about a month ago, he got a pull. He just felt a pull in his lung. And it just wouldn't go away. And finally, I convinced him to go to the doctor. The doctor took some tests and didn't like what he saw and sent him to the hospital for some more tests. And they told us a couple of days ago that he has lung cancer and probably only has 2 to 3 weeks to live. It's just so far spread. And I told her, I said, yes, I'd be happy to pray for her. And I put his name on the prayer sheet. Some of you didn't know what was going on. I didn't go into any detail, like most of the time I don't. But because I believe that, you know, I'm protecting people's privacy. If they want to share what's going on in their life, that's fine. But I always try to caution, err on the side of caution. And the doctor said, there's no use doing chemo. There's nothing we can do from a surgical standpoint. And you just need to get ready. Now, he was a Christian. They're both Christians. Their kids are Christians. They have a couple grandchildren that are still pretty young. But he lasted another 3 weeks. And she called me and said, well, Tim went to heaven. Tim went to heaven. And, of course, when somebody your own age, it makes you feel, you know, your own mortality. So it's been about 3 months since all that happened. Some of you asked me when all this was going on. You said, hey, preacher, what's the matter? You seem a little bit down. Well, that's what was going on. Now, a couple weeks ago, I saw her in Walmart. And she said, Daryl, it's been 3 months. When does the hurting stop? When does the hurting stop? And she said, I feel broken inside. And these are actual words that she used. She says, every part of my body aches. When does the hurting stop? And we stood in Walmart there in the aisle, like Martha, like you and I did one time. And we talked for about 45 minutes. And I told her, I said, Jenny, the hurting never stops. It'll get better, but it'll still hurt. And over time, some of the hurt will go away. Right now, you hurt all the time, 24/7. You hurt 24/7. But soon, you'll just hurt most of the time. And when more time passes, you know, you'll get a little bit better, and you'll just hurt most of the day. And then some more time will pass, and then you'll just hurt when you're reminded of Tim, when you see a picture, when you see something that reminds you of him. I said, that will probably be years and years. I mean, you're going to hurt, and it'll never stop. And by the way, you don't want it to. You don't want it to. Because you can't love somebody dearly without hurting for a long time when they go away. You can just ask some of the widows that are here tonight. Some that have been widows for a long time, some that have been widows for a year, some that have been widows for a couple years, and they'll tell you, the hurt never stops. Never stops. And Jesus knew that we would hurt. And I would tell you tonight, there's many here tonight that are hurting one way or another. Like I've mentioned, there are many widows here tonight that have lost their husbands. There are people here tonight that have lost children, some years and years ago. But they still hurt. Still hurt. Some hurt tonight because of a broken relationship, either a personal broken relationship or a corporate broken relationship. There's some here tonight that have had to leave a church that they've been members of for years and years and years, and I've talked to many of them, and they hurt about that. Some here tonight hurt emotionally. Some here tonight hurt physically. And Jesus knew that we would hurt. And I look at a verse like 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, and many people read this verse and they read it in the wrong context. It says, "There hath no temptation taken you," and they read that word temptation and they think about a temptation to sin. They think about a temptation to get off course. But I think that word encompasses much more than that. "There has no temptation or time of testing taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with the temptation will make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." So here's the promise of this verse. God says, "I know you're going to hurt. There's going to be times when you're going to hurt, but I am going to give you what you need to bear it." To bear it. Now, I had just finished reading, before I met this lady in Walmart a couple weeks ago, I had just finished reading a little booklet that talked about hurting and the stages that people go through as they hurt. And for the 45 minutes, I just said, "Jenny, let me just tell you what's going to happen. Let me just tell you what you're going to feel." I said, and I told her about reading this little book. I said, "Right now, you're going through what they call a bleeding time, where you cry and you weep and you just carry on." And I said, "There's nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. If God didn't want us to cry, he wouldn't have given us tear ducts and tears. And he knows there's going to be times in our life where we will suffer a loss or we will hurt for some reason or another. And we just feel like crying all the time. We just feel, and it's not that we don't trust the Lord. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. It's not that we don't trust him. It's not that we sorrow without hope, because you have hope. I mean, Tim's in heaven tonight. You know that. He's out of all the pain that he was starting to feel. And you know, it was part of the Lord's plan for him to go to heaven at this particular time. But, you know, you're going through time now when you're just weeping. And that's okay. God knows that there's going to be times when we will weep. It's okay to miss him. It's okay to cry. And in fact, I went back to the 11th chapter of John, when Jesus went to visit his friends, Mary and Martha, and their brother Lazarus had died 4 days earlier. And you remember the story. Jesus came into that town of Bethany, and Martha came out to meet him first and said, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died." And I'm sure that pulled at Jesus' heartstrings, even though he knew what he was going to do. And then later, Mary came out, Martha's sister, and said basically the same thing. Said, "Lord, if you would have been here, Lazarus would not have died." And Jesus said, "Well, take me out and show me where you buried him." And so they took him out to that cemetery in Bethany. And the Bible says that as the sisters wept and as their friends that had gathered to grieve with them wept, the Bible says in John 11:35, the shortest verse that's in the Bible, just two little words, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. And that's always been a comfort to me. I mean, because Jesus knew what was going to happen. He knew that in just a few minutes, he was going to stand in that cemetery and he was going to tell him, "Roll away the stone, take away the stone." And, you know, Martha was going to say, the practical one, "Well, he stinks. He's been dead for 4 days. They didn't embalm people back then. They just sort of wrapped him up." And Jesus said, "It doesn't matter. Just roll away the stone." And he knew that in a few minutes, he was going to cry out, "Lazarus, come forth." And he knew in a few minutes that one that had died 4 days earlier was going to hop out of that grave all wrapped up like a mummy, and he was going to say, "Loose him and let him go," and Lazarus was going to live again. And yet the Bible says that Jesus wept. Jesus wept. And here's what I told her. I said, "God knows exactly what's going to happen in your life. God knows what he has planned for you. He has a plan for your life. And I can't understand why that plan included the death of your husband. I can't understand why that plan..." And they had plans. I mean, they were going to travel and they were going to enjoy their retirement together. And I said, "I can't explain to you why, but I know this, that God knows what's going to happen next. But even though he knows what's going to happen next, he still weeps with you." And I'm glad we have a Savior that knows how we feel. I'm glad we have a Savior that weeps when we weep. Say, preacher, how do you know? Well, I can only go by what I know about Jesus as he operated on this earth. And if he wept with his friends as they wept, even though he knew that he was going to call Lazarus out from the grave, even though he knows what's going to happen in our life, the next step that happens in our life, when we weep, he weeps with us. I was thinking about that as we were singing that song, Not a Friend Closer Than Jesus. Not a friend. And so I would tell you that are weeping, still weeping tonight, that you don't weep alone. You have somebody that weeps with you. He knows when you cry, and he weeps with you. And then I told her, Jenny, what will come next? There'll come a time that they call an acceptance time, when you just have to come face to face with your hurt. I said, you know, you're probably thinking now, well, this is all a dream. This is all going to pass away. I mean, it's going to be right back to where it was. And they're going to come a time when you'll have to come face to face with your hurt, where you realize you can't bring them back, and where you realize you got to go on without them. There'll come that time. Hadn't come yet, as far as I could tell, in her life. But there'll come a time when you have to come face to face with it and know that God's going to give you what you need to go on without him. And I thought about, and I didn't mention it to her, but I thought about it as I was preparing the sermon, about David and his little baby that was born to Bathsheba right after God convicted him of his sin, had that prophet point his bony finger in his face and said, you're the one, you're the one. And because of your sin, God's going to kill the little baby that you have with Bathsheba. And you remember the story, David went into a time of prayer and fasting. He didn't eat for a long time, and his servants came to him and said, hey, you're the king, you need to eat. And he said, no, and he refused food, and he spent his time in prayer. And then the little baby died. They were afraid to tell David, but he saw his servants whispering and figured out what had happened. He called them over and said, the little baby died, didn't it? And the servant said, yes. And they were surprised at his reaction. The Bible says he got up, went into the house of the Lord and worshiped, and then went and washed himself, and then asked for food to be set before him. And they said to him, well, we don't understand why you're doing this. I mean, when the little baby was sick, you wouldn't eat at all. And now that he's died, you call for food. And David said, well, when he was sick, I prayed because I didn't know what the Lord was going to do. And I thought he would have mercy and show mercy to me and maybe save him. But now that he's gone, he can't come back to me. One day I'll go to him. One day I'll go to him. And by the way, this is not part of my message, but for those of you that have lost little babies, they're in heaven tonight. One day, you'll go to them. They won't come back to us, but one day, we'll go to them. And I got to apologize. I know our visitors, especially you that were here last Sunday night, you're going to say, man, all this preacher does is cry. I'm not like this all the time, really. But David came face to face with the fact that he had to accept that his little baby boy was dead. Charles Weigel, who was an evangelist and a songwriter, faced a similar time in his life, not with the loss of his child, but with the loss of his wife. She didn't die, she just left him. And he went into a room that he was staying at a college. And he wrote the song that night, No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. And those times that we have to come face to face with the hurt in our life and realize that they're not going to go away, that we're just going to have to live with them, we need to know that, again, nobody ever cares for us like Christ. Nobody. Nobody. He knows what we go through. And then I told her, number three, there comes a trusting time. A time when you have come face to face with the hurt. And even though you can't explain it and can't understand it, you come to that realization that God knows what's going on in your life, and this would have not come into your life unless he allowed it. Again, I didn't say it to her, but I thought about that verse that's in Revelation chapter 19, verse 6, where the Bible says, "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as a voice of mighty thunderings." Now, just get the picture. I heard a voice like it was a great crowd. I heard the voice like it was a mighty waters, like a mighty river rushing downstream. I heard the voice of mighty thunderings, thunder that just goes off in the air, and we hear it, saying, "Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. The all-powerful God reigneth. And what that verse pictures in my mind is that God standing at the doorway of our life, the pathway into our life, and acting as a guard, and the only thing that comes into our life is the things that he says, "Okay, you can come in, you can enter, you can go in." Nothing comes into our life unless God allows it. God doesn't look down and say, oh, that shouldn't have happened. That doesn't happen in a Christian's life. Everything that comes into our life is allowed by God. And he stands at the doorway of our life, sort of like a sentry in an army, or like the guards we used to have at work. I mean, everything has to pass them, and if they're not supposed to get in, they won't get in. And again, everything that comes in is allowed by God. And everything that comes in has a purpose by God. It's part of the plan that he has for our life. And we come to that point where we just say, "Okay, God, I know you're omnipotent. I know there's nothing in my life that you haven't allowed. I'm just going to trust you that you have a purpose for this, and it's for my good. I don't understand it. I can't explain it." And I told her, I said, I can't for one second stand here and tell you why your husband would go to heaven at such a young age. Of course, I was thinking about my age at such a young age. I can't explain it, but it's part of God's plan. It's part of God's purpose for your life. And we need to get to the point in our life that when God puts us in times of testing, we need to say, "Okay, Lord, I don't understand it. I can't explain it. I don't agree with you, but you're God, and I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you that you know what you're doing. And if you want to take those that I love, if you want to take my health, if you want to take my wealth, whatever you want, it's yours. Because I am trusting you. I'm trusting you." And then I said, "Jenny, there'll come a time," and you're probably there already, because these things don't happen in exact order. They sort of overlap. There'll come what they call an investigation time, where you'll ask the question to God, "Why? Why? Why?" You've heard me say before, I think it's okay to ask God why. I think he knows, because he made us, that we were going to ask why. And we need to, you know, we need to go back and we need to look at this book. Why did the hurting come to David? He was being punished because he sinned. Why did the hurting come to Job? He was an upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil, the Bible says. And yet God put him through a time of testing, took his wealth, took his children, took his health. I mean, took everything he had. He said, "I came out naked from my mother's womb, and naked I'll return to the dust of the ground." And yet you go and you read the story of Job. And you go and read that 42nd chapter of Job, just a short little chapter there that, and maybe it's chapter 41 at the end, I can't exactly remember. But Job said, "You know, before all this started, I thought I knew you. They said, I didn't. They said, now I do. And I know you're such a good God. A good God." So sometimes God puts us through those tests, not because we sin, but because he just wants to draw us closer to him. Closer to him. He put Joseph through hurting because he was training him, getting ready to lead getting ready to be second in command to Pharaoh, getting ready to save God's chosen people as the famine was coming. And he went through a time of testing, being separated from his family and being falsely accused and being thrown in prison, and just a time of hurting. And yet God was training him. God doesn't change. He still works the way today. Sometimes hurting comes into our life because he's getting ready for us to do something greater for him. Greater for him. So go ahead and ask why. God doesn't always tell us. He doesn't tell us. But it's okay to ask why. And then, number five, I said there'll come a time where you'll look back on this and you'll realize God used it in your life for the furtherance of the gospel, to get the gospel out to more people. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 1, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Paul was in jail. He was hurting. And yet he said, "I know why it came. It came because so I could be an example to other people. And as other people see my example, they're more bold to preach the gospel. They're more bold to tell other people about Christ." Now listen, that's the main reason that God left us on this earth. I've said this many, many times in the 2,700 times I've preached behind this pulpit or others that have been in this place. God loves us. He loves us more than we'll ever understand till we get to heaven. He loves us. And if he was done with us on this earth, he would take us to heaven. He wouldn't leave us in this mess. He'd get us out of here. He'd take us home. But the fact that he's left us on this earth means that he has a work for us to do. And that work, all of it, I mean, regardless of what work we do, all of it leads to telling people about Christ and getting more people saved and getting more people ready for heaven. That's what it all points to. That's what it all boils down to, telling other people about Jesus and getting them saved and getting them ready for heaven. And the hurting that comes into our life, there ought to come a time. And again, it may not be immediately, it may not be for a year, it may not be for 2 years, but there needs to come a time when we realize that that hurting has come into our life for God to prepare us to use us even more to tell people about Jesus, to tell people about him. And I told her, "Jenny, there'll come a time when hopefully you'll look back on this and you'll know, maybe not all the whys and the wherefores, but you'll be able to look to God and actually say, thank you. Thank you. Because you're using me in a much greater way now than you probably would have used me if Tim would have stayed here on this earth." So we said her goodbyes. I told her to call me if she needed anything, and I told her that I would pray for her. And I would just say to you tonight that are hurting, I know it doesn't go away. I know it doesn't go away. There'd be something wrong with you if it went away. It would. And so you go ahead and cry when you feel like crying. You go ahead and hurt as you hurt. But I want you to remind you about something tonight. There's a God in heaven that knows how you feel. There's a God in heaven that weeps when you weep. And there's a God in heaven that still wants to use you in some way to bring more people into his kingdom. So go ahead and cry. Go ahead and weep. But be busy. Be busy. Be more bold to tell people about Christ. Be more bold to tell them what Jesus has done for you. Be more bold to share your faith. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement that it gives us. We don't sorrow as those that have no hope, because we have that blessed hope that a person that's saved, when they leave this life, goes to heaven. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. And so I pray tonight, Father, for those that are here. I pray tonight that every single person knows for sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that they're on their way to heaven tonight because they asked Jesus to be their Savior. It's not good works, it's not church membership, it's not baptism, it's not taking communion, it's none of those things. It's coming to Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by Him. And so if there's just one here tonight that's never asked Jesus to be their Savior, Father, tonight, would you help them see their sin? Would you help them see that verse that says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, applies to them? Would you help them see there's a penalty for that sin, and that penalty is separation from you forever and ever and ever? But then when Jesus went to the cross, He paid everything we owed. Everything. 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 And I pray tonight, if there's, again, just one here that's never asked Him to save them, that tonight would be the night. They would come in just a moment, and we could take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. So Holy Spirit, work in those that might be here that don't know Christ. Work in our life as Christians, doing us tonight what you know needs to be done. And we'll give Jesus all the glory. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.